Well, welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. Playmakers are back on stream. A new play is opening at, really, as we speak, A String of Pearls, the latest production. It's a story about a piece of jewelry as it goes from owner or possessor to possessor, stringing along with it a set of stories held together by this string of pearls. The best thing about this play is it's brought back to Chapel Hill one of our favorites, Drezana Beverly, who last year directed the powerful Playmakers production of Yellamy. And if you missed that one, you just missed an extraordinary feat of drama and acrobatics and just everything else that and Drezana Beverly, welcome back to Chapel Hill.
Thank you very much.
We declare that Chapel Hill is your second home.
Yes.
But we're stretching,
sorta,
aren't
yes,
we? We're
kind of, sort of. Yeah, next to New York. I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland, and I've lived in New York for so many years, but Chapel Hill is becoming my third home.
Well, just for those Chapel Hill folks who don't know, our adopted daughter of Chapel Hill. She is, of course, a Tony Award winner for her Broadway production for Colored Girls Who've Considered Suicide, When the Rainbow Is Enough.
Yeah. That's right.
You're a Tony Award winning actress.
Yes.
And our award winning director for magnificent productions here with the Playmakers, and in part because you spent a whole season with us.
Yes.
As a, what do you call that, a visiting?
An artist in residence. I was an artist in residence.
And now they won't give you
here.
Up. They bring you back every year to do a play. Tell us about, you're directing A String of Pearls,
yes,
which is, the official opening is Saturday night,
yes,
November the
19th,
I
believe,
guess.
At 8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock, mm-hmm, in Playmakers. And wow, what a great opening it will be. And then being on for several weeks, as the Playmakers production do. But now, how did it happen that A String of Pearls came to be a Playmakers production and that you became the director?
I was offered another play first, and there was a bit of a schedule, a schedule conflict. Donna Hines got back to me a few weeks later and said, there's another play we're doing called A String of Pearls. And she said, I actually think you might enjoy directing that more. And it's a little earlier in the season. And I read it and I said, sure, it sounds good
to
me.
So this is your first introduction to the play?
Yes, it is. I've not seen this play before.
When you read the play, what about it said, this is something I might want to do?
It was a woman's play that it has issues in it, subjects in it that are very relevant to women and the lives that we live. It covers several bases in a very provocative way, I might say.
All right, well, tell us all you will about that. Why should I go see that?
Why would you go see it?
Let me ask you this, Susan Beverly. What you say, this is a woman's story,
woman's
a woman's play. And what is different about a woman's play from an ordinary play?
Everything in the play is seen from a woman's point of view and a woman's need.
Are the actresses all women?
They're all women. And they play a range of characters. I think there are four actresses, and each actress plays, I think something like 10 roles apiece. They play all of these different parts. The characters are, for the most part, female characters. There are a couple of male characters.
They dress up like boys sometimes.
just a hint, uh-huh. They don't have, the men don't really have any great dialogue, but they are there. They're kind of dotted in the play from, as the play proceeds. But as I said, it's a play that is about issues that would deeply concern women, and it is told from a woman's perspective. It is seen through the eyes of a woman.
What is this? How do you describe the story when you're telling your friends about whether they should come or not?
Very interesting, because I would first say that the play is a dark comedy. And it's very interesting, because within that framework, there are at least three scenes that are deeply, deeply moving. Michelle Lowe, you know, she has an extraordinary sense of humor.
This is the playwright.
This is the playwright. So that while she's dealing with some of the more sensitive issues and sometimes painful issues of life and death, I might say, she has this extraordinary sense of humor.
So it's a dark comedy.
Yeah, so you find yourself laughing at things that the laughter that gets caught in your throat, kind of.
It's laughter. You almost say, I'm laughing at this, but I shouldn't, because it's so serious. It's a real problem.
Maybe so. Yeah. Or it's so, it has a kind of Salvador Dali kind of feel to it, a kind of bit of an abstract. And things that these characters do and the way they do them are kind of out of the box.
It's the kind of thing that, like, if I'd written the scene, and you knew that a man had written it and the man were laughing at these kinds of things, it might be the kind of thing you say, he shouldn't be laughing about these things, but we can laugh together if it comes from a woman. Was that?
No, I wouldn't quite put it that way. No, I think she's more generous than that. I think a man can come to the play and enjoy it. And I think a man will laugh and laugh very freely at it. And hopefully it would make a man maybe think a little deeper about some of his actions.
Right, you can tell where I'm going with this. But it would be that what I'm saying is that there's some things that women, when talking about their own situation, that they can laugh among themselves about some of these horrible things that happen to them.
Yes.
And it can be real humor, a dark humor.
Oh, yes.
But if I'd come in and tried to poke fun about
this.
Women would say, you've crossed the line. You shouldn't be poking fun at us about this.
Well,
is it?
maybe there's one or two instances of that in the play, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
Is she mostly, like with For Colored Girls, an interesting
right,
way.
Right, 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 right.
It mostly concerns the women. And the men, I think, would be more spectators sort of looking in the window.
And I'm getting a little vision about what women's really, a deeper vision of what really is happening to women. Well, I want to push you.
But not like, but unlike For Colored Girls, that really did deal with, male-female relationships. String of Pearls deals with subjects that, to a large degree, are exclusively female issues. There are one or two scenes
where
the scenario is broader. You have cancer.
A uterine cancer that's special to women.
Let's say in the scene where there is an issue of cancer. Now, that is something that is very universal. That is neither a male or female issue. Now, but perhaps the way this sorority of women, and I say sorority, community of women, handle this is very exclusively female.
Not the way men would have dealt with
the same
problem. I don't
think so. I think men would handle it a different way.
So you got cancer. Let me just. All right, I'm gonna have to set this up, and then you're gonna knock me down. But this is, it's the story. The name of the play is A String of Pearls.
Yes.
And the without giving away anything, basically this is the story of the dramatic story of how that deals with the passage of this particular piece of jewelry from one possessor to another.
Yes.
And at each point of possession, there is a mini story, sort of. Is that right? And we're going to see several owners and how this piece of jewelry interacts with their lives.
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct. And how many different worlds these pearls pass through, and the women who are so different. and yet have things in common, and how, you know, where the this string of pearls went. I think it would make a wonderful film. It would make a wonderful film. One of the characters in the play is from Tunisia, which is northern Africa. She's a Muslim, and she has a boyfriend in America, and she's in America trying to make money to send home to her daughter. And she's a hotel maid, and she finds the pearls laying on the hotel floor. They have been ripped off of this other woman's neck in a previous encounter that night in the hotel room. It's very intriguing. And and let me hasten to say, this is for adult viewing.
Oh, really?
This is not
X-rated stuff in there.
Some of it is. Some of it is.
And so do we get to see the pearls ripped off? I guess that's
yes,
the question.
Yes, you do. You get to see them ripped off.
Because I haven't seen the play yet, but we follow the... I was a lawyer, and when we did property searches, we would trace the what we call the chain of title.
Yeah.
You trace the sort of chain of possession of this piece of jewelry from one person to another, and this same kind of story.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Now,
yes.
Let's take a break.
All right.
I'm talking Beverly, who is the director of the latest Playmakers production, A String of Pearls, and she and I'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. The Playmakers' new production is A String of Pearls. Apparently is a compelling story about a piece of jewelry that passes from one owner to another. I'm told that there are 20-some characters in this play, but they're all played by four actresses, all directed by one of our favorite directors, Trezana Beverly, who's come down from New York to direct this production. And you're telling me all about it.
Yes, yes.
Can you give me one more scene?
Another scene. Tell it.
It's not going to give anything away. People want to come see it.
Well, the play, which I think is very much to Miss Lowe's credit, deals with aging and how people, the relationship of daughters and mothers. There are three extraordinary and very different relationships of a mother and a daughter in the play. The play opens with a granddaughter who is staying at her grandmother's house because the granddaughter is preparing to get married.
And this is a grown granddaughter.
Grown granddaughter,
and so very elderly,
who's also a doctor.
Right.
And she says, you know, we don't want any plants in the house. We don't want to have any children. We just want to have a get married and have our careers. Basically, that's sushi. And the play opens where, you know, there are people that are, you know, very excited for Amy, and you know they want to give her a shower and everything. Amy doesn't want to have anything to do with it.
She's
wants
businesslike.
To live a very
She's
black and white life. And in the middle of it, Grandma says, "Are you going to wear my pearls?" And that just stops everything. And Grandma goes to find, she says, "You've got to wear my pearls." And, you know, Amy's going, "I don't need your pearls to get married. All I need is the dress and my fiance. That's all I need." And Grandma, but, you know, Grandma is determined. If she's anything like my mother, she's very determined. I think most women are very determined people. And Grandma says, her name is Beth. And the pearls, really, they are her pearls. And she opens the play at 74 years old. And she is determined she's going to find these pearls. And she can't find them. And she starts to recount how she came by them in the first place. And then we
start.
That's
where the story starts.
Yes, that's where the story starts.
So the story starts there.
Yes.
With this grandmother. I mean, I can picture this.
Yes.
Wanting her granddaughter to wear.
The pearls. This,
she can't find it. So we start and then we wind up back there again towards the end.
Oh, the play goes full circle.
All the way
and
back.
And those pearls come back. To Beth, but you cannot believe how they
okay,
come back.
Okay, we'll find out. I'm not going to push you to tell. I'm not going to push you to tell me that. I'll go pay and see this great production. But it really means it's kind of funny because my wife is trying to get my attention, and I realize now that I haven't done honor to this, but her mother gave her a very important piece of jewelry, and. We've treasured it, of course, because of the connection, but she just had it appraised. And it's phenomenal how valuable. I mean, of course, it's appraised at a retail price, and you should discount that. But the extraordinary value of this knocked us off our feet.
Wow.
But what I'm imagining, of course, you always project your own story onto the
yes.
play, but I'm imagining that this is the kind of link up that the grandmother wanted with her granddaughter. A valuable piece of something that's also important to me emotionally.
Absolutely. Beth was married to a young tennis player. He was very virile. And we go back to when she was, I believe, 39 years old. And her husband, Ethan, broke his foot. And when he broke his foot, he stopped playing tennis. And all he did was sit around and watch television. And he sort of lost his joie de vivre, his joy for life. And she was typically sort of there wanting him to be the young man that he was, but he would hardly touch her. And she goes to a cocktail party where with him his class former college
a kind of reunion cocktail party,
and at the reunion he sees one of his old girlfriends, and whose name is Beverly, and Beth is quite enamored of Beverly. Beverly is quite extraordinary, very attractive, very virile, very alive, very sociable.
So and both the husband and the wife like this?
Beth is sort of intrigued by, how attractive she is. And she couldn't even imagine her husband dating this woman. And the woman gathers Beth up and gets her over by the bar, and she says, to look at Ethan, you wouldn't imagine he's the kind of man that he is. And she's going, what do you think? She said, he's an accountant. He gives me pens for Mother's Day. One time he gave me a broiler pan for my birthday. That's how bad it's got. And she, Beverly says, well, you mean he's never given you? Beverly starts off with, Ethan was the first man who ever gave me a string of pearls. And she goes, string of pearls? She says, he's never given you a string of pearls? And she goes, no, Ethan gives me pens for Mother's Day. And once he gave me a broiler pan for my birthday. And Beverly says, well, you go right home and you tell him to give you a string of pearls.
Oh my gosh.
And so Beth doesn't have a clue as to what a string of pearls is. Now here's where we get very, very provocative. Men who are frat men will know what a string of pearls is. And of course, Beth thinks that it's a real string of pearls, but of course it isn't. It's symbolic of something else that young men, college men, pre-married men know a lot about. And it's sort of
sitting here pretending like I know.
Like you know. It's sort of an extraordinary way of having sex, let's put it that way.
Gotcha. Okay.
And, of course, Beth, she just thinks it's the regular pearls. Well, of course, she is quite shocked out of her shoes. And he just comes alive and he goes, "You want a string of pearls like that?" And they proceed to, you know, he proceeds to give her the string of pearls.
Oh my gosh.
And this opens up this world. Well, you see, the subject, like I said, is very provocative because the truth of the matter is these are the kind of intimate subjects that, you know, married people go through all the time, but don't get talked about openly and very rarely get put on a stage. And, of course, everything is done with great humor and taste and all like that and great imagination. But the very fact that his, you know, I guess it takes him back to some.
He becomes a young man
again. Becomes a young man again.
Well, now, all right, now, I hate to interrupt this, but these are women actresses.
Yeah.
And so you got one of the women playing this.
No, just the
witch. You're just talking about it.
It's one woman. She does that whole scene.
She plays, this is a monologue.
Yeah.
Where she recreates the conversation with her husband's former girlfriend.
Yes.
And then.
Well, you see the girlfriend. There's Beverly. Beverly's there. Ethan's there. Beth's there. But when we go to the bedroom scene, I mean, it's just the actress who plays Beth.
Wow.
And you see it all through her eyes and my eyes as the director.
Well. Now, we're recording this a little bit before the production. And what are you wrestling with now? Is this kind of scene must be tough and one that you might want to experiment with. Have you got this nailed down? You got this? Are you real happy
with
this?
Pretty much. I'm pretty happy with it. It's funny as the Dickens. It's very funny. It's very funny. And I've allowed it to have a lot of space, a lot of breath. And I just hope that people will feel comfortable enough that they can go with the flow and just
laugh when they're supposed to.
And just not hold themselves back and know that they're supposed to enjoy themselves.
Well, I'd hate to interrupt you. We need to take a quick break. I'm talking to Drizana Beverly about A String of Pearls, the Playmakers production that she's directing, and she and I'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. We're talking about A String of Pearls. It's the current production of the Playmakers here in Chapel Hill, and its director is Drizana Beverly, and she's given us the inside story about
That's
this.
Right.
Thank you, Drizana.
Hot topic.
Let me ask you this. What else? You know, we're getting ready to go see this show. What else should we look out for?
There's a wonderful scene in the play, which personally is my favorite, that has to do with a woman who is a company manager for a ballet company. She goes to, I believe it is, she's going to Paris. She was born and raised in Paris, but she's a Jewish woman, and her mother and her daughter were murdered by the Nazis. And she returns to Paris. She doesn't really want to go, but the man who is the manager of the ballet company, he kind of irks her on and on and, you know, and really doesn't give her much time to think. And everything happens so fast. And before she knows it, she's caught up and she's now back in Paris being the company manager for this ballet company. And she takes herself to the Louvre to see, the pictures, whatever. And she passes this jewelry store, Boucheron. And the jewelry store has some meaning for her because she sees the face of her sister, whose name is Pearl, in the window. And she tries to ignore it. And eventually she has to go in. And she picks out a set of pearls and, the sales lady says, would you like to try them on? And she says, yes, I would. And she puts the pearls on, and she starts to, the pearls take on the embodiment of her sister, the love of her sister, and she starts to talk about how comforting the pearls feel, and they're around her neck, and it's just cool and comforting, etc. In the middle of that, there's an explosion in the streets, which, you know, sets the store in chaos. And the woman still has the set of pearls on her neck, so she doesn't have a chance to take them off and give them back to the saleswoman. And she just walks out of the store, and it just brings back a whole set of horrific memories for her. And she relives for a moment the moment with her mother and her sister.
Well, Trezana Beverly, let's take a quick break. We'll come right back to that.
Sure.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm talking to Trezana Beverly, and she is the director of A String of Pearls, which is the Playmakers' latest production.
Yes.
Wow, such poignant. You know, we use all these words, and they're probably not exactly the right words, but vignettes, is that these are multiple stories in one play.
Yes.
Strung together like a string of pearls. Now, it would be more fun to talk about this after I'd seen the play and after those who are listening to us had seen the play, but how's my life going to be changed by seeing this play? What are some of the things that people might take away? You don't want to impose that. That's for all of us to do personally. But you've experienced this.
I think each story has something in it that will allow a person to really get a deeper perspective on a certain issue. You have the woman Victoria who moved from St. Louis, and her husband has become an investment banker. And she starts off by saying, you know, we have money now. And she moves to New York. They move into the apartment that belonged to the woman who was the company manager of this ballet company, and who has just, you know, the experience was too much for her, and she just left and gave up the apartment and everything. She never returned to the United States. We don't know where she went, but she's alluded to having run off with a Viennese ticket taker, which is a sort of little running joke in the play. Everybody runs off with a Viennese ticket taker, whatever that's supposed to mean.
I'm going to Vienna then and learn how to take out tickets.
I'm telling you. Okay. But Victoria finds the pearls in one of these soda cans that has a false top on it.
Where you safeguard your valuables.
Right. So. Hidden in the back of the closet. And she cracks the can, the pearls fall out. She has them appraised. Well, you know, a real string of pearls, a real set of pearls, basically starts around about $6,000. They're very expensive and very wonderful. I mean, sometimes more valuable than diamonds, I think. And she has them appraised, and she wears them, and she says, I deserve them. She says, because I gave up everything in St. Louis to come here. And she complains about being lonely. And her husband says, you know, and her husband doesn't understand why she's lonely. And this is another one of those issues that affect certain women who, you know, are bound to follow their husbands. They follow their husband's work. And this woman is struggling to fit in, and all of her attempts to do so with, you know, other women in the community, they don't seem to have time for her. Maybe because she's from St. Louis, she doesn't understand the energy, the New York energy, and everybody's going. And finally, she decides, well, her daughter is on a swim team. And she sees these women who are coming, who are swim team moms, like soccer moms. And she says, well, you know, maybe they'll accept me. But these are women who, you know, they're from a different class level than her. And she kind of has to lower her standards, or she thinks she has to lower her standards to be a part of them, you know, the way she carries herself, et cetera. And she does that just to fit in. She starts lying about who she is, what her husband does. She puts her children on welfare. She just weaves this whole lie so that she can fit in. And, of course, the New York Times does this big article on her husband, and she goes, and I know these women are reading it. And, of course, you know.
My cover's blown.
And, you know, and she, at first she starts out by calling these women poor white trash. And then she ends up liking them, and they take her in, and she really becomes a part of them. But her cover's blown. And she ends up throwing the pearls in the river, in the East River. And they end up in a fish.
Oh, come on. Oh,
no, they do end up in a fish. And family have dinner one evening. They live up in Poughkeepsie. And they go fishing, and they have this fish for dinner. And her husband is like going, you won't imagine what's in this fish. And the pearls are in the fish. And, of course, her mother, and they are very Jewish. And it's just hilarious. I have such a talented group of actresses. You should come see it just to watch them perform.
Well, you in some respects, with these stories that you're telling us, we get
right.
to see not
so
just
you
one
can
play.
See where it is a dark comedy, where it's it has its serious and it's funny at the same time.
But lots of stories, so that I'll probably. As you say, it's a woman's play, but I'm everything you told me I identify with already. But I'll be identifying with some of these short plays within a play more than others, and everybody else will be doing the same thing. That because these things relate to the human experience, I've had some of these experiences, and some of them I haven't, and I'll be relating to those that closely approximate. Now, there is a problem in directing this, because just some of the things you've told us, you have to. How am I going to say this? I don't want to say you suspend disbelief, but while there is a reality in each of the stories, the idea that the pearls could have this extraordinary life is stretching your imagination a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you just ignore that and just dive into it and tell the stories, or do you say, we're just going to make this so exciting that people won't even think about how do you do that?
I think, you know, the great directors have a wonderful sense of humor and somehow find a way to thread that in to their work. I'm thinking of I want to say A Beautiful Mind, but it may not be. It may be a different film. But the actor, he lived in a concentration camp with his little boy. And now how could you watch that? But the director was able to make that work. The man himself had so much humor. He was so loving, and he did all kinds of things to make that world for his little son and for himself as outrageous and wonderful as it could be, so that he could counteract against the horror of where he really was. And I have allowed myself as the director with this play to have a real sense of humor and to think out of the box. And it really kind of comes together, and it really kind of works, so that you're saying, oh, that really looks outrageous, but there's something about the statement that she's making at this moment that I can buy. I can accept that, you know. It's like I said, it's like a moving painting. And when you really think about it, I mean, life itself is so incongruous and it's full of humor and things that sometimes we don't want to laugh at, but you know, you kind of get it caught in the back of your throat, and you can be angry and laugh at the same time. I mean, life is that way. It's full of all kinds of twists and turns.
It's funny. I don't know how the director can put him or herself in the shoes of the viewer,
mm-hmm.
or the person who comes to see the play. But it's easy for me because that's who I am. I go to see the plays, and I know that sometimes I'm very willing to let loose and not to challenge the kind of breaks with reality, but just to concentrate on what's being presented in the story. And,
man,
it's wonderful when I do that. Other times I come in, I find myself being skeptical, and I say, that just could never have happened that way.
Right.
And it interrupts any ability to deal with.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know whether it's just my mood on that day or whether it's the playwright and the director have somehow or another in the successes, they've overcome this sort of skepticism that prevents some people from being imaginative enough to enjoy these great stories. Do you worry about that at all?
No, I think that actually the stories themselves are very believable. I think the stories themselves are very believable.
In this play, in String of Pearls.
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. I think what the journey that the pearls take is a very real one.
You don't think a fish could really eat a whole string of pearls and deliver it up and sail up the Hudson River and get caught. I mean, just have to kind of suspend disbelief on that one, don't you?
Well, it
could happen.
A big fish swallowed up Jonah. Why can't, if a big fish, a whale can swallow up a man, why can't a halfway decent salmon swallow a string of pearls?
You convinced me. I don't think I'm going to get a hang up on that one. This, for you, you know, your last production for Playmakers was just fantastic. Yellow
Thank
Man.
You.
I'm
Thank
still
you.
Reeling and remembering it and want to see it again. I don't know whether you all can ever put it together that way again. And, you know, your Tony Award presentation. In some respects, we know you as a black woman who directs African-American plays and participates in them. This is definitely not an ethnic play at all, is it?
No, we have two. We have two African American actresses, and we have two white actresses.
But it wouldn't matter. I mean, in this one, in this one, the casting would be colorblind, wouldn't
it? It's colorblind casting,
and
yes.
So it's not a black play or a white play. It's
That's right.
a human play.
That's right.
But now, some people would say, "Well, Trezana is she does black plays." But you would, I mean, of course you would even resist if I said you do woman plays. You know,
I
do plays,
That's
although
right.
I have a special ability and insight when it comes. I feel this coming from you on to that this is a woman. I'm a woman. I can see these things. Does being an African-American woman give you a better perspective of women's, of just the challenges that face women?
I don't. I think just being a woman, you know, I don't think that has anything, you know, first we are women, and with a play like this, my being African American doesn't factor in much, only that I'm a woman with some life experiences, and that I'm curious about just about everything. And I'm always taking pictures, mental pictures of life, and I think about life very deeply. And so that when I encounter a play like this, I'm able to bring, you know, just a set of sensibilities to it. I found with this one that being African American is of not
it's just
major
in,
consequence.
Yeah,
just being
yeah.
a woman. Being a woman. And the same would apply when I'm directing an African-American play. I mean, I'm very much looking forward to directing something classical. I'd really like to do that. And you must ask me. I'm going to be making my New York directorial debut.
We just got a minute. But yes, of course. Tell us what you're going to be doing early next year.
The Darker Face of the Earth. is going to open in New York, February the 4th. It's the Oedipus story set on a plantation, and it's written by poet laureate Rita Dunn.
All right. So this is African American experience.
Yes,
this
that is one first is a very
for,
powerful.
A first yeah. for you in the sense, although you've been in New York all the time, and
yes.
your Tony Award winner is an
yes.
Is this your first directing
it's going to
debut,
be my, yeah,
your New York, York debut?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
It all happened because you had all this great experience in Chapel Hill.
Yes, it had a lot to do with it.
We knew you were great even before those folks on Broadway did. And we're so we're not finished with this conversation,
yes.
but the time's up.
Yes.
Please go see, those of you who are listening, please go see Playmaker's production of A String of Pearls and see the wonderful results that we've gotten from adopting Trezana Beverly as an honorary daughter of Chapel Hill.
Thank you.
Thanks all y'all for listening. We'll be back same time tomorrow.